say that I really appreciate you coming before council today. And I really don't think, being in business and the future of your company, that you would jeopardize the future by doing anything that was really not right for you and right for the environment. But I know that we have to stay on top of this because this is a concern, you know, and it's something that we are, it's visible to us. You go to a grocery store and you buy products that you have no idea what's in them. You don't even think about it when it goes through the checkout and you take it home and you cook it. But when it's in front of you and you see it growing and you do all these things, and the, you know, the history of this industry, it's amazing how the public are so in tune with it. And I know you went to Norway, was it last year or the year before? Or someone went, the mayor went, I think, on behalf of the province. Whatever. So you learn a lot from other countries as well on the past practices and hoping to improve so that everybody is satisfied.
Absolutely. Yeah, we are out there learning, and but one of the things that we do is we do site tours, and we invite, you know, probably want to wait until it warms up a bit, but invite people to come out to site tours. And we're meeting with the Chamber of Commerce today at the Best Western. I guess they've got 35 tickets sold for a luncheon today. Again, answering all the questions, maybe finding other suppliers. But I would say that this is a priority for us to expand our operations in Nova Scotia, and that we need to get the message out about what we do and how we do things. We've got nothing to hide. We do know there are detractors out there, and we need to get out there and get ahead of it. Rather than reacting, a criticism of us would be that we have not done a great job of getting the message out, and that's something that we're working on changing.
We recognize that there are some detractors that do not lead the industry, but they're also as Councillor Frelick mentioned, they're also concerned citizens or concerned stakeholders that, you know, could have a list of 40 questions or 100 questions. And, you know, whether that happens at the open house next week, whether they want to follow up with us at a later time as well, or both, you know, we're more than welcome to entertain that. That's what we want to do during this option period. Is, you know, what are your concerns? If we don't know the answers to it, maybe we can help guide you to the person that will have those answers. Yeah.
Councillor Frelick, do you have an additional follow-up?
No, I was curious about what Councillor Kelly was talking about on land processing or fish farms. Does that really come down to economics? What is better for the planet at this point?
It's farming at sea. Don't need the electricity. You need a lot of electricity. You need to bring in oxygen on land. You need to get a lot of level ground. You need to cut down a lot of trees. So the economics of it would not be great, but also the environmental carbon footprint, have whatever you will want to call it, are not as advantageous to land base. But again, as I said, we are the largest land-based salmon farmers in the land of Canada. There is a possibility that there's an opportunity for some smaller niche players to do some full grow out, but to do what needs to be done on any capacity is going to require a lot of electricity and a lot of water.
But it's a very common thing in Europe, right?
No.
It's not?
Nobody has done full market grow out successfully.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a company, they were saying that they were successful in Denmark, and they're going for some operations in Maine. They've since gone under. And there's a company in Florida that's working on it, but nobody has done it successfully commercially. There's a small company here in Nova Scotia that does a small amount of production, but they haven't done anything.
Any other councillors have any questions?
Just one last question.
Councillor Kelly?
What is your proposal after 6 months once you've gone through consultation? What is your expansion plan for Liverpool Bay?
So we'd like to have a new sea site in Liverpool Bay.
Yeah.
We're also working on a new hatchery over on Digby Neck. And we're working on our feed production facility, and we're also looking at other sites further up the coast.
But as far as another fish farm in the site in Liverpool Bay, are you looking to duplicate what you already have there, or
yes?
I think a lot of it depends on. Sorry, I think a lot of it depends on during the scoping session as we meet with the people, as we do our oceanographic research in that area. And I think that's really going to dictate what we would want to see. We want to base our decision or our application on some science as well as public engagement. So it's difficult for us to say. And right now, a 20-cage model sort of works for us everywhere. But as we go through this process, maybe the science will tell us that, right, no, 14 or 16 will be better, or maybe they would say more would be better. But we really need to base that on the science and the research that we're doing during this option scoping period.
Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you, Andrew and Jeff. We will, in the region, put the public meeting that we're having at Kings Place Mirror Center on October 30th out to the public, so that you'll have a great attendance, hopefully, with our effort.
Thank you.
Do appreciate the very interesting presentation today.
Thank you. Thank you for your questions. And we do have a website, aquaculturegrows.ns. So if you have any questions or want any more information, you can go to that website, and we will be updating that. The meeting information is on that as well, and we'll be updating that on a regular basis. So if you want to find out more, it's on the web.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Move on with the agenda this morning. We move to 4.0, which is tabling of petitions. We have no petitions to table this morning. Are there any petitions to be tabled? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Moving on to 5.0, public question comment session. Members of the public gallery that may like to speak this morning, please state your name, your address, and limit your comments to 5 minutes or less, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have an option. I wish you feel cool. Under 13.2, I see you have a lot being said with respect to the school property. As well, we had a presentation here at the previous meeting, and from the group there that works here with the preschool, I guess it is. And I'm anxious to see what's going to happen. It seems as though that there's jobs there now at this point. Also, there's some potential money that comes in, I think you mentioned at the time. So, we'd like to see it so that we'll be here at that time, back to the other meeting, what happens when you have there. Second item is I'm just wondering in the press there and so on, the proposed pool at the Queen's Place has. Council has decided not to hunt it, and I was wondering when that motion is made by the council, I don't recall it.
We have a number of discussions with council, both in open session and in camera, and certainly direction is given to staff through both. The 8-plus cent increase on the tax rate was not acceptable to council, and therefore the press release was issued to the media. That's the process that we went through.
So there's a motion made to that effect.
We certainly have the approval and direction of council to do so.
So normally all those motions that's there for something like that as approval, and it goes to open council for the information.
We certainly make positive motions in council if we're going to bring them to open council and vote upon. We do not make motions that are negative in open council. You've been in the public realm for a good many years, Leon, and I'm sure you understand that there are discussions and issues that are of confidence that are under the Municipal Government Act that are dealt with outside of the public portion of council.
Yes, I understand that. 27 years that I was here, things like that did happen.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery?
Tim Lane, Park Street, Liverpool.
15-1, there's the telecommunications tower. And I'd just like, I'm glad to see that it has been extended to 1,500 feet for notification. This will maybe impact me. There are people in the world who have electromagnetic sensitivity. I'm one of those. So I will be going to the meetings that they will be having with the public over that, because this could be something, depending on the levels, that could have a huge impact on my life. So I'm glad that it has been extended. I'm anxious for the meetings.
Thank you. Any other member of the gallery would like to speak this morning? Thank you to you both. Under 6.0, we have the minutes from the last regular council meeting of October the 9th, 2018. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes that circulated? Councilor Phillips?
During the last meeting, we were talking about the Pleasant Avenue. That's going to be paved. And I have concerns about the process of how it's going to be done, and that was omitted off the current minutes. And I don't want them added in, but in future, if we have concerns, that could go back and we could look at that later on. I would like that to be included. And it's just, it feels like it's just kind of deleted off the minutes when it should be part of the.
I understand your concern, Councilor Keller.
Concern.
When keeping minutes, the issues are normally the items that are maintained within the minutes and not the complete discussions. I guess you look at the relevance of comments pertaining to the item and their importance in that item and that motion. So your points are well taken, and certainly our recording secretary understands your concern.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any errors or omissions in the minutes other than the discussion we had? A motion to approve the regular council minutes for October 9th, 2018 would be in order. Moved by Councillor Kelly, seconded by Councillor Frelick. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. We have nothing today to bring forward under dangerous or unsightly premises. Nothing today under 8.0 economic development. Under corporate services, we have a number of items. We have 9.1, which is the cost sharing of J-Class Roads 2019-2020 fiscal year and a recommendation in 9.1. Who would like to take the lead on 9.1? Councilor Kelly.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipalities submit a portion of Old Fort Mattoon Road, White Point, to the 2019-2020 cost-shared paving program for paving subdivision J-Cross Streets with the Nova Scotia Department of Transportation and Infrastructure Renewal at total estimated municipal cost of $32,000.
A seconder to that motion? Seconded by Councilor Frehley. Any discussion on the information as was circulated on this item? Councilor Kelly.
So are we basing the $32,000 on the province's estimate on repaving that road, which is would be half of the province's estimate?
I would ask the CAO to explain how that figure was calculated.
The province doesn't estimate any roads for us because we haven't given them a list. So we essentially measured out the size of this street versus the size of the street in Mount Pleasant, done the calculations, determined that based on the paving cost for Mount Pleasant, the paving cost for this section of Old Fort Mattoon Road was $64,000. Which ours will be half that $32,000.
The revised paving cost
revised
for
cost.
Pleasant Avenue. Okay, thank you.
Any other councilor have a question or comment? Councilor Johnson?
So with that in mind, Chris, so we don't get into cost overruns and overestimates like we've experienced, does that mean when it comes in, if it's approved, we may draw a footprint of what we actually get paid back to a $32,000 value, or are we looking to come back to this group looking for an over budget approval?
So what happened this year was they gave us, when we submitted our list of roads, we submitted two, they came back when they finally approved one, they told us what the price was going to be prior to budget, and then we set that money aside in the budget. So we know this year they'll do, when we submit this project, if it's approved by council, they'll come back in probably February again and give us a number, and then we have a choice at that time to put that number in the budget, or to put the 32,000, which is what we expect it to be. So I don't know how the province calculates what their numbers are gonna be. And so this is the best guesstimate at this time. I would hope that the province can come back knowing what the tender prices were this year, that they would come back with similar price to what we're suggesting. But we don't know what that price is gonna be. And then there's also, or I guess when they go to tender, the tender may come in higher or lower. So if it comes in lower, we'll have a savings, but if it comes in higher, then we'll be back here again next year looking for additional funds to top up to pay that street again.
But we would be looking for additional funds and not to reduce the scope of work.
We can't reduce the scope of work, it's only like a 600-foot piece, and so to reduce it wouldn't make sense. If you're gonna pave this,
sure.
It's the only piece, it's paved on one end and paved on the other end, this is the piece in the middle, so it wouldn't make sense to reduce the size of the patch.
Good.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion with council on this item? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. Moving on to 9.2, policy 7, council and staff expenses. So we'd like to take the lead on this. Councilor Crowley.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve policy 7, council and staff expenses.
Seconder to that motion? Councilor Fisk. This item was also circulated with the revised policy 7. Any questions or comments of council on this? Councilor Johnson.
I really don't have a problem with the policy. My problem is the administration of the policy. And if I can clarify that a little bit, 5 of the 7 electoral boundaries bump onto the footprint of the town of Liverpool, which this can be administered very easily for. 2 of the districts, District 7 and District 6, and then I won't speak for Councilor Fisk, big boy to do that himself. But the administration of this, living in North Queens, makes it very difficult to become part of the council as a whole. And if I can give you a couple of examples of where funding and expenses do not get approved. If you take the work that we do, if it's expected as we come together as councilors to things like the New Year's Day levy, your expenses coming in from North Queens is part of that. So all of a sudden, in the eye of the public, well, that guy from North Queens doesn't want to be there. He doesn't want to be part of council. That's not the fact. We talked about it at a meeting in September, our 30% tax-free piece that is going to go away. I can burn through my 30% very, very quickly. Just to have a meeting in town with the school or the fire department in North Queens uses up, you know, 20 kilometers round trip and stuff like that. All I'm saying is the policy, I realize you can't write a policy for every scenario, but you've got to take it into consideration that if we want to be seen as a council that supports, and one of the things, one of my examples is Castle Trail Bridge, in this thing with Cook Agriculture coming in on the 30th, if I'm going to sit here and make a decision based on the best thing for Queens, I want to make that based on the best information I can get. What do I have to do? I have to dig into my 30% tax-free allowance to be able to drive in here because it's not reimbursed. Those are the type of things that I'm suggesting that we really have a look at when we're administering this policy. The policy can't fit every role. And when we publish every quarter, you look at all the expenses. We never qualify why the expenses for someone from District 7 is more than everybody else. But if you want to be part of council, if you want to do your job properly and be informed, that has to be looked at. The other part about this policy that I do have a concern with is the part about if you have a complaint, the appeal process. I just went through the appeal process, and to me, it hasn't been clear. There's no clear process. We had a discussion. At the end of the day, there was the only person I appealed to was the person who said it wasn't qualified to get the expense, and there was no voting. There was no discussion on it beyond that, other than something that was totally irrelevant about what other councilors do.
apply for reimbursement. There's nothing that prohibits that. The only prohibited here is travel within your own electoral district, which is 7.5. So if you're traveling within your own electoral district, then that one-third tax-free that's now on, that's now taxable, was to cover that. That was the portion of that. So so if you're traveling within your own district, yeah. So if you're going to meetings with fire departments or other groups, then that's the part that's excluded. But it's recognized, I think, that the increase in the salary that was formerly non-taxable is now taxable, makes up for that. So that's, I guess that's the assumption that's there. On the appeal process, I guess it hasn't been considered, but on the appeal process, if someone doesn't agree with the decision we made, I mean, we can, if that's the council's wish, we can go back and look at. There's nothing in the policy about that, about the appeal process. If that's the council's wish, we can go back and provide some wording to do that.
Thank you, CAO. Any other concerns or questions or comments on this issue with councilors? Councilor Kelly?
So if I make a motion then?
It would require an amendment, or a notice of an amendment, or a directive to staff to include it as an amendment.
So am I motioning for an amendment to the policy number 7 to include an appeals process?
I would entertain that as an amendment. So moved by Councilor Kelly of the amendment, seconded by Councilor Frelick. Any discussion on the amendment? Deputy Mayor McLeod?
I'm not quite sure what you mean by the appeal process. If you submit an invoice and you don't agree with it,
Would be the amendment process.
Then that would be the amendment process.
There's nothing in the policy to state how that would occur. So there would be language inserted in the policy to identify how that process would actually occur. And at this point, where we have an amendment on the table for discussion, I would ask the CAO how he would envision that.
We can simply add just the section that if someone, a member of council, or in this case, I guess a member of staff, would have to have two appeal processes, felt that this decision of the decision maker of the time wasn't appropriate, they would have the ability to appeal. So I can deal with the staff part of it, but I would look for direction from council on who would be the appeal body that the person would appeal to if they disagree with the decision.
Any comments of councilors on who that should be? Councilor Fisk?
Well, I would think it would be the mayor of the day.
I would suggest it would be best to have the mayor and the CAO.
Well, I think we're back where we were, because that's who's appealing them now. And so if you disagree with the mayor or the CAO doing it, it shouldn't be one of us that does the appeal. It should be somebody independent of the original decision.
Yes, Councilor Frelick?
This decision doesn't have to be made here and now.
Well, we want the wording redone. I want to bring back the proper wording and not bring back wording, and then council say, well, that's not what we want. We want somebody else or some other process.
But I think we need time to think about how that process should look. I mean, this is the first time we're hearing about it. So if we're able to have that discussion prior to coming back to council, then I think it would be better than making a quick decision at this moment with two councilors missing.
As I understand the amendment, it would cause the motion to require staff to go back and revisit Policy 7 and incorporate new wording, which would then come back to council at the next meeting for a discussion and deliberation and vote. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
Sure, we can go into further motion.
So on the amendment, we have that on the table at this point in time. We have a direction through that amendment to include the process of looking at a complaint. Are we ready for a question on that amendment?
We're going to approve the amendment, then we're done. So the question is, we want to defer it, then we need a motion and a seconder to defer it, and then we'll bring back the issue the next month.
Would we not be able to make the amendment for direction and then defer the motion?
Yeah.
The amendment isn't about direction, because there's just a appeal process, but there's actually nothing to approve because we don't have the wording yet.
I'm following the CAO. He'd like to have stronger wording or direction to include wording, which they will come up with. So at this point, would you withdraw your amendment?
Yes, I withdraw my amendment, and I'd
And the seconder is in agreement with that?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So now we're in a position where the amendment's been withdrawn. We are in a position where we can defer this motion to the next council. Would someone like to do that?
I move that we defer the motion until it's like this.
Moved by Councilor Kelly, seconded by Councilor Frehley. Any discussion? Are we ready for the question?
Yes.
All those in favor? It is deferred to next week. That is unanimous. Thank you all.
Thank you all.
We will now move on to 9.3, election of deputy mayor. The process will begin at this meeting again, and a person who is interested in being deputy mayor for the next 2-year term will need to be nominated and accept that nomination, and then we will proceed through a voting process. The floor is open to nominations. Councilor Fisk?
I so nominate Heather Kelly.
Heather Kelly, Councilor Kelly, will you accept that nomination?
Yes.
Any other nominations from the floor? Second call for nominations from the floor for deputy mayor. Third and final call. Hearing none, nominations are closed. We have under 9.3, we have a recommendation motion in which we will insert Councilor Heather Kelly. And it will then read that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approved Councilor Heather Kelly is deputy mayor for a 2-year term, it's been on November 1st, 2018, and expires on October 31st, 2020. Do we have a mover to that recommendation? Moved by Councilor Frehley, seconder to that motion, Deputy Mayor McLeod. Are you ready for the question?
First
question. All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you, and congratulations, Deputy Mayor Kelly.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Heather.
Congratulations, Heather.
Moving on to 9.4, recommendation for appointment to Western Regional Housing Authority. Who would like to take the lead on this one? Councilor Bill Johnson.
All right, I'd like to make the recommendation that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality recommends to the Nova Scotia Ministry of Community Services the appointment of Scott Carson as the Region of Queens Municipality's second appointment to the Western Regional Housing Authority for a 3-year term.
Seconded by Councilor Frehley. Any discussion? Councilor Johnson?
My only question is, because I was questioned this is the replacement for Marie McLeod.
Okay. Councilor Frehley?
I just have a question. How will Mr. Costin be notified?
After passing of the motion very quickly. Any further discussion on the motion? Councilor Kelly?
When we first started talking about this, having a representative on the Western Housing Authority, I wasn't aware that Marie McLeod was our representative on that board. And I'm wondering why or why not, or if it's possible, is there not any reporting procedure? I mean, that is a representative of the Region of Queens. Do they report back to anyone on staff? I've never, up until that point, never had a report back as to information about the Western Housing Authority and what's happening in Queens and what the situation is with housing according to the Western Housing Authority. Is that something that's possible, or does it happen now?
CIO, would you like to address that?
I'm not aware of it happening now, but certainly we can invite the two representatives from the Housing Authority to come make a presentation to council and give us an update on their activity.
That would be great, and but also as our representative, is there any expectation of a reporting schedule as to from that representative on that board back to council?
I think they send us their annual report every year. The difficulty with this one is that they meet and discuss confidential tenant issues.
Right.
And so for them to come to council, they're going to say we dealt with 50 tenant issues, which is typically in their annual report. Other than that, they're not going to be able to tell us anything.
Right.
Other than there may be some issues around policies and things. But other than that, most of it's confidential. So it's very difficult for them to come and have a meaningful public conversation about their issues. I guess when they present their annual report, if there's questions, certainly we can ask them next year to come present their annual report and give us an update. And then from that, I think we can determine whether
and that is condition of the housing units and that sort of thing. Did that go to our representative as well?
Yes.
Well, then I feel strongly that we should have some representation from our region that voices to the Western Regional Housing Authority the fact that we need more focusing on the actual residential units that they are in, and from the public perspective, the work that's being done on them and so on, and site units and that sort of thing. So that's important.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. And it should also be noted that we have the opportunity to have two representatives on that board, and Doug Adams is the other representative. And after 2 or 3 year terms, one has to change because you're not eligible for 3 terms. So, any other questions or comments on this issue? Are you ready for the question?
Yes, sir.
All those in favor of the motion? It is unanimous. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Scott Cawson, for putting your name forward. We're happy to have you as our representative.
Your Worship, I have to leave now for an appointment, but I will be back.
Okay. Thank you, Deputy Mayor.
And I let the mayor know that before the meeting starts.
We have nothing today under 10.0 Engineering Works. Under 11.0 Finance, we have several issues, and I would ask our Director of Finance, Jennifer Keating Hughley, to come forward, please. We have under 11.1 the RFP Auditing Services. Who would like to take the lead on 11.1? Councilor Fisk.
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality award the 2018 RFP for auditing services to Grant Thornton in the amount of $19,500 for the year ending March 31st, 2019.
And a seconder to that? Seconded by Councilor Kelly. The report was circulated. Did you have anything to add, Jennifer, to that report at this point?
So we did have only the two proposals submitted. Both showed ample experience, objectivity, consistency with the assigned staff, ongoing. I did look at and reviewed the number of hours proposed, or the estimated number of hours proposed for the auditing services. There were more hours proposed from Belleville Vino, but the end result was audited financial statements produced for the Region of Queens, and so the number of hours really wasn't relevant to the choice, and I didn't see there would be additional value added for the change in price or the larger amount for the price, so I went with the Grant Thornton and their international resources.
Thank you, Jennifer. Any questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Fraley.
I have a question about local versus a city company. And do we take consideration for that? Because, you know, the last auditor that we had and we switched over to another, they then moved their office out, not as a direct result, but it also affects their business. So in as we work forwards to economic development in Queens County, I would think that would be part of the formula that we would consider before you make the final decision. Can you talk about that a little bit?
And in this case, all else being equal, the price difference was really the deciding factor. Grant Thornton does have an office in Bridgewater as well, so they're not actually city. And Belleville Vino did use their senior partner and one of the juniors from the Bridgewater office as well when they were here doing their audit, and the majority of the work was shared between Liverpool and Bridgewater offices. So as I said before, there's a price escalator built in for the next 2 years as well with the Valvovina, where there wasn't the Grant Thornton, and everything else being equal, I really didn't see that additional value added.
But because it's a local company, would that not be a priority for us as the region of Queens? And Bridgewater is not Queens, so I can't really understand that way of thinking. Like, they have an office in downtown Liverpool. We're encouraging all business to shop local, all residents to shop local, and we're taking our
We're not.
Put that out.
If council so chooses, they can change my motion and recommend Bel Bovino.
Thank you.
Councilor Pearson?
Just to make it clear in my mind, is it, was it $9,000 difference in the, over the 3-year period?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Any other councilor have a question or comment today on this issue? Are you ready for the question? No. Councilor Kelly?
Yes, I did have a question. Just give me a moment. Based on the reports from the last financial audit by Bel Bovino, are we still bound by their discussions in improvements to our financials that they recommended at the end of the audit?
Management letter will be reviewed by the incoming audit team. And I have addressed the issues that were in that letter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you. Councilor Fisk?
And I also want to add that Grant Thornton is a well-recognized firm, very and quite capable of doing their finances.
Any other comments or questions? Councilor Phillips?
I'm not concerned about capable. I'm concerned about optics for us going to another town to get auditors or accounting firm when we have one here in town. So in order to change that, I'd have to make an amendment and then get that passed. Well, let's give it a shot. I'd like to make an amendment to include the other company, which is Bel Bovino, rather than Grant Thornton.
Seconder to that amendment? Councilor Kelly? Any discussion on the amendment? Councilor Kelly?
So in your opinion, Jennifer, both of these companies are on an equal footing as far as you're concerned. The only difference was the price.
Yes, I would say they were equal. I liked the idea of Grant Thornton and their international resources and connections.
And is it standard, not standard practice, but you know, accepted within the industry as a theory that you would change up your auditors, or does that really have no bearing whatsoever, and that Bel Bovino could carry on auditing our books for as long as we possibly would want them to?
That is another consideration that I had, was the objectivity of bringing someone in that was different from the past 3 years and switching it up to see that, you know, the conclusions were the same.
Any further questions or comments? Councilor Johnson?
Just for just to make it clear in my mind, for the first half of this budget year, there has been no auditing activity whatsoever that we would owe Bel Bovino.
Correct.
Councilor Kelly?
Bel Bovino has been our auditor for the last 3 years.
Correct.
And who was our auditor before that?
BDO, formerly Raymond Ewell.
Councilor Relic?
Again, I go back to the optics, and when Raymond was replaced, I know there were hurt feelings, and, you know, as someone who lived in the town and that gave us professional work and business, I don't want to see the same thing happen again. I think that, you know, everything that we stand for is about promoting local and making sure that we are transparent in what we're doing. So I really have a hard time accepting that we would go out of town. Even though Bel Bovino has office in Bridgewater, they still have a local office, which is important. And if it should go away, then it leaves another gaping hole in our community. So that's what I have to vote to see the answer.
As long as there's no consideration for objectivity, and as we said, as Councilor Kelly mentioned, you know, this changing out every so many years just to prove, again, optics, that there is objectivity in the auditing services.
Yeah.
Are we ready for the question on the amendment?
I would not have that information.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Although their office was here and functioning prior to our awarding the auditing services to them 3 years ago.
Any other counselor have a question or comment? Counselor Fisk?
Just want to comment. They're both equal firms, I understand that. But it went out to an RFP, did it not?
Yeah.
Okay, so we went out to an RFP. To be fair about this, we would try our best to accommodate the ones that were here, of course. But by the looks of the figures, it doesn't seem equal to me.
So we're starting to look at issues that have already been stated, so I'm going to ask for a vote on the amendment. All those in favor of the amendment, as read recently? I have one in favor. Those opposed? Four opposed. It is not carried. The amendment fails. We are back to the original motion. Any discussion on the original motion at this point? Ready for the question on the original motion? All those in favor of the motion? All those opposed? Let it be known that it has passed at a vote of 4-1. Thank you very much. Moving on to 11.2, second quarter financial statements, which were circulated for your information. Are there any questions or comments on this third quarter report? Jennifer, do you have any highlights that you'd like to speak on?
There was a couple of mentions on the last quarter financial statements where the revenue was slightly higher on the residential and the commercial tax rates as per budgeted estimates. Since then, that's dropped back a little bit, so we were around 52,000. I think we're around 45,000 above estimates this time as some further adjustments have come in from PVSC. You'll notice that the computer insurance, there is no separate amount for that. When we switched companies, so we RFP'd the insurances last year, and Aon, as opposed to Bell and Grant or Alpha J. Gallagher, had came in at a much lower price. So a number of the insurances throughout the budget have changed in coding and reallocation because their system kind of had divided up the amounts a little differently than the previous provider had. But also bearing in mind that the previous provider had been charging us $189,000 a year, and this provider came in at $103,000, so there was significant savings in our insurance this year. New to the statement as opposed to the first quarter, on page 8 we have some interest-free loans that we've given to the fire departments. It shows one currently on that line item for $23,000, but there are actually two. We gave interest-free loans to the Liverpool Fire Department for $23,000 and an interest-free loan to Port Medway Fire Department for $34,500. Streetlights on page 12, you'll see there's a credit in that amount. There was a retroactive agreement when all of the streetlights throughout the province were to be retrofitted to LED. There was supposed to be a freeze on our fixed annual rates, and the pricing did keep escalating since that arrangement was made. So this year they've gone retroactive to put those adjustments in place, and so we're currently sitting with a credit balance rather than what would be at this point in time about $150,000 expenditure. We actually have a credit of $15,000 in that account. So there's going to be significant savings for us in the streetlights going forward. On page 14, we've got a little bit higher amount in our MRF, the labor. We had taken on a little bit of additional waste stream from the valley, and we've since determined, I believe, that we probably don't have the capacity to that, so we won't see that labor costs increasing ongoing. But then, of course, whenever we do take in additional waste streams and increases our labor costs, there's additional revenue that offsets that. Page 16, You'll see that the brochure and updates is slightly over the budget. We, our visitor guides came in, we had budgeted 5,000 and they came in a little bit higher, but $400 over. And the VIC operations, that amount was budgeted prior to council's decision to keep the VIC open to the end of October and past and covering the theater festival. So that budget line item will be a couple thousand dollars over by the time we hit the end of the year.
Any questions or comments of councilors on this item? Councilor Johnson?
Can you just clarify again, Jennifer, why VIC remained at extra money because of the theater festival?
No, the budgeted expenses for the VIC is slightly over because council wish to have the VIC open longer. So we've got additional salaries, wages in that line item. So it's gone slightly over budget because we kept it open longer to the end of October to cover the theater festival instead of closing down prior to.
Oh, I see, because of the
Yeah.
Councilor Kelly?
But would it have been the same as last year because we extended it and kept it open for Euclid and Keeley, didn't we?
It wasn't the same time frame.
It wasn't open as long as last year.
No, it wasn't.
Yes,
we closed it in early October.
And we're seeing more tourists coming in the fall, so we wanted to make sure that we had a service available to the increased tourism.
Absolutely.
As well as
that,
the theater festival this year. Any other questions or comments of councilors? Councilor Kelly?
So the $15,000 credit in our streetlights, is that able to be needed in there, or can we transfer that to general operating?
It's in general operating.
Oh,
so it's going. It will affect and increase any surplus we see at the end of the year.
Any other counsel? Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that very much. We have nothing under 12.0 recreation and community facilities. Under 13.0 we have planning. I would ask our director of planning, Mike McLeod, to come forward. Under 13.1, we have development agreement, telecommunication tower in Liverpool. Who would like to take the lead on this? Councilor Kelly?
I so recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to enter into development agreement to allow for the erection of a new cellular telecommunication tower on property identified as PID number 700-47055 and located off of Meadow Pond Lane in Liverpool, and that the Council recommend that East Link extend the personal notification radius for the public information meeting to 1,500 feet from the proposed site, and that a public hearing be scheduled for November the 27th, 2018 in the Council Chambers of the Municipal Administration Building located at 249 White Plain Road, Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 9 a.m.
Seconded for that, Councillor Fisk. Mike, did you have any information to add to what was circulated on the agenda?
Nothing additional to add. I guess the as stated in the motion that we've received application for the erection of a new cellular telecommunication tower, which is not permitted as of right in the current zoning, being the mixed-use coastal residential R6 zone, but council can consider such uses through a development agreement process. One thing, as per policy within the municipal planning strategy, there's a special provision whereby the proponent is required to hold an additional public information session prior to getting to a public hearing stage of the development agreement process. The policy sets out that the notification radius for the proponent for this public information meeting is 1,000 feet. However, in discussions with Planning Advisory Committee at the last meeting, given the size of the properties within the vicinity, that the notification radius of 1,000 feet didn't extend to a great number of properties, and that reasonably densified residential area, being the Bar Street, Kroll Street area, was just outside the 1,000 foot radius that the Planning Advisory Committee made the recommendation that the notification radius be increased to 1,500 feet, so it at least touched on some of the properties within that residential neighborhood. So other than that, the information is presented in the staff report.
Thank you, Mike. Any questions or comments of councillors? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Unanimous. We will move on to 13.2, RFP update, surplus property, former Mount Pleasant School in Caledonia Bus Garage. Mike, if you'd like to give us an update.
Yeah, just a little verbal update as to the status of two municipal properties. At a previous council, two properties were declared surplus to municipal needs, and those being the former Mount Pleasant School and the other being the Caledonia School Bus Garage. Staff were directed to initiate the process to dispose of the properties. So as per the Municipal Government Act, we are required to sell properties at fair market value. So in order to determine that, we commissioned the appraisal of both of those properties to determine what that market value would be. Now, the Mount Pleasant School was appraised at $69,000. And the Caledonia School Bus Garage was appraised at $348,000. So with that information, a request for proposals was prepared and issued on October the 12th. The RFPs being advertised on the region's website, Facebook, Twitter, as well as ads will be going in the South Shore Breaker on October 24th and October 31st, advising of the request for proposals. As well, there had been a number of people that had inquired about potentially acquiring those properties, and we had a list of several names, and those individuals were notified that the RFP had been issued. There have been a number of people in to pick up the request for proposal packages on both of those properties. The RFP closes on November the 16th, so hopefully we'll receive several submissions for the sale of those properties. As was discussed with council, we included in the RFP package submission of not only the potential purchase price of the property, but also the proposed use that would be intended for each of those buildings, as well as an outline of what potential community benefit that new use would have of those facilities. So the RFP submissions were some additional information for council's consideration.
Thank you, Mike. Are there any questions or comments of councillors on this item? Councillor Johnson?
Is fair market value, the definition of fair market value, the assessed value or the appraised value? Or is it some combination of the two?
Assessed or the market value is really, it's a willing buyer and a willing seller, but assessed value is what Property Valuation Services applies to that, and they're not necessarily the same. Generally, an assessed value is lower than the true market value of the property, so that's why we have to go. We have access to assessed values, but it's not generally a true reflection, so that's why we have to go to an appraiser, a professional real estate appraiser, to get that market value.
Any other councillor? Well, thank you, Mike. I appreciate the update. So we will see what proposals come forth on the last date, which is November the 6th, I think.
November the 16th.
16th.
Yeah.
We have nothing today under 14.0 reports, nothing under 15.0 in camera today. a motion for adjournment would be in order. Moved by Councilor Frelick, seconded by Councilor Johnson. Any discussion? Ready for the question?
Questions.
All those in favor?